It's Thursday the 8th of February and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips. But unfortunately again there is no Aaron and no party. But Sean, I think there's a couple of things that have happened through this week that should bring the party to the podcast.
Hello there, Paul. Yeah, we've got plenty to talk about and party about this week. Really excited.
Yeah, so we've got, well, four games since our last podcast. Trip to Sheffield last Wednesday. The doubleheader over in Belfast. I think there was a game last night, but struggled to, don't think anything special happened. So we'll probably brush past that one. But loads to get through. So we're going to get straight on to last Wednesday and a full busload of people on the back of free transport put on by the Devils made their way to Ice Sheffield, along with plenty of others who'd made their own ways up. And Devils ran out 6-2 losers, Sean. It was a really strange first period in that Sheffield seemed to... Well, a strange game in general in that when Sheffield got in the zone, they looked massively... offensive, they looked dangerous, Devils looked a little bit flustered. But we had plenty of chances ourselves, and I think we hit hit the crossbar on three separate occasions with a couple of other near misses. So what was your take on that game?
Yeah, through the course of the game, it looked as though that when Sheffield were getting in the zone, you thought they could score at any time. In fairness to them, they took their chances really well. They only had 29 shots and they scored on six of them. They created a lot of traffic in front, put some good pucks on net, cycled really well again and caused us some problems on the power play with the pressure. And overall, we just, I don't think we were like four goals worse off than them bad. I feel like they got every single bounce in their favour. We didn't get any hours. We hit the pipe three, four times and they hit the pipe once and it went in. And if the bounces go the other way, you're looking at a 5-5 hockey game. And it was tough to take because I didn't think we deserved to be that, amount down going into the second leg. But ultimately, it could have been far worse. Luckily, Joe, your dad, gets a shorthanded goal for us on a brilliant turn and shot on the net and makes the margin, not respectable, but, just a little bit more hope is in your head there. And overall... not a great game. We looked frustrated when we couldn't get the bounces and ultimately we lost to the better team on the night.
Yeah, it was a game that frustrated me. I felt we were a little flat at times, even with those chances. Yeah, and it was that sort of defensive, not frailty, almost panic that worried me. And yeah, I did wonder whether or not there was one eye on the Belfast weekend, which would surprise me given that we've been quite focused this year for the majority of it. The one other sort of outcome of the game, even more disappointing, arguably, was Mark Lewis needing to be helped off the ice towards the end, and would mean that he wouldn't ice or travel to Belfast and also didn't play last night. So obviously something there. Did you see the incident, Sean? It wasn't something I caught.
No, I think it was sort of on the near side board to us at the other end of the ice, which is the blind spot you get being sat there in Ice Sheffield, and I didn't catch it. So I hope Mark Lewis is okay. I hope we see him back real soon. Never nice to go down, especially at this stage of the season when your teammates are counting on you, and it's frustrating to be out of the lineup. And yeah, wish him the best with his recovery.
And obviously just coming back to his best after his last injury setback as well. So hopefully it's nothing serious. And we're getting back soon, as you said. So a very quiet, despondent coach headed back to Cardiff from Sheffield. And some of us went straight from Ice Arena Wales to the airport, Sean, and got an early morning flight over to Belfast. Others of us were a bit more sensible, had a few hours kip before flying out a bit later.
All right. Some of us were a bit more sense. I had a great time.
Yeah, sitting in an airport where you can't actually buy anything is it's what everyone wants to do on a Wednesday night. But if you enjoyed it, that's up to you. But Friday, the first game over in Belfast, but before we get onto the game, Sean, absolute crazy number of fans over. I think think over 500 in the end. Worked out, and you know, for that many people to make that length of a journey is quite outstanding. And I think it shows sort of on the back of how good last year's was with the results we got.
Yeah, without a doubt, the volume of fans that went over, and you know, this is not a cheap trip by any stretch of the imagination. You know, by the time you look at, you know, your flights, your hotel tickets, you know, your general beer money, you're looking at a 500 quid weekend. You know, I think, you know, on a good day. So, yeah, for that amount of fans to make the effort, take the time, spend that sort of money to go out and support the team, that block of red was fantastic to see. At one stage, I stood on the bridge in Belfast and just looked at that block, and it was fantastic to see so many people. And like you said, probably, you know, last year's result and the hype that it gets. And I know there were a couple of people who went last minute. Some people only went out for one or two games. One of the two games and flew home, or, you know, came a day late because they couldn't get leave. So overall, I think, you know, between the weekend, I think there were probably about 600 Devils fans there by the time you take into account the fact that some people went home, etc. Massive, massive credit. Just want to shout out to Garrett Walters, the resident devil living in Northern Ireland at the moment, for putting on buses for everybody, from all the flights for international, you know, into town, sorting, you know, the group ticket booking, all that sort of thing. Just made so much of an effort to make sure that everyone had to do as little as possible to make their trip easy. And yeah, what a brilliant, brilliant message to show the league how much, you know, the Devils mean to the travelling fans.
Yeah, massive, and you know, massive thanks to Garrick. Group booking also secures a very nice discount, so
yeah.
More than welcome, on, as Sean said, on top of what's quite an expensive place, very expensive place to drink. I don't know whether it's just the volume I drank or
that's
the prices, but the beer bills were not cheap on the weekend. But the second most important thing after beer started on Friday night, and the Devils facing off against Belfast, and a bit of a dream start for the Devils with Jake Morissette on the power play less than 4 minutes in, giving us the lead. But that man, David Rutherford, Sean, just pegged us back towards the end of the first, and a first period that I thought was really promising for the Devils. We played well, had some really solid chances, and felt that we were unfortunate to end that period at 1-1.
Yeah, I think so. I think we deserved to go in with the lead. We created a lot of good pressure. We put a lot of pucks on net. You look at the shots, it was 12-10. But, you know, David Rutherford pulls an absolutely unreal move on Ben Bounds, just absolutely decks him out of his pads and ties the game up. And then in the second period, I thought going into the second period, we were lucky to be only, you know, down by the one goal, because I thought we came up quite flat in that second period.
Yeah, a really shaky performance from the Devils. In terms of the defensive panic, it had your real reminders of the Sheffield game on the Wednesday, and there was some worry in my mind that the game was going to go that way. So whilst we're talking about it, obviously we said that Mark Lewis wasn't playing. Drew Parris stepped back into the lineup for the first time, I think, since New Year's Day. And it really looked like a player who hadn't played in over a month. I think it's probably fair to say he struggled to find his top form consistently for the Devils, even before his injury, discussions that we've had, but looked quite shaky and just contributed to a quite a poor performance in the second from everyone, not singling him out, just forgot to mention that he'd played.
Yeah.
But as we've done a number of times this year, Sean, a poor second period, followed with a much improved third, and you know, Devils started quickly again and again on the power play. Less than 5 minutes in, Patrick Aslin ties the game up.
Yeah, and a good, you know, a good stage to get the tie game. The first couple of minutes of the third period was a good way to you know maybe try and build a bit of momentum, and a power play goal does that for us. And but then, you know, that again, that man, David Rutherford, we let off an odd man rush, Darcy Murphy feeds Rutherford, and, you know, pulls almost the same move on Bounds and scores another brilliant breakaway, to be quite honest with you, to edge the Giants back in front.
Yeah, and it's just one of the, you, a minute after the goal, it's always just so disheartening.
The worst time.
But the one thing you've got to say for the Devils on Friday, the power play was kicking. And the equalising goal from Mark Richardson also came on the power play, giving Devils three power play goals from their five opportunities. And so the last 5 minutes, the game sort of became a bit more frenetic. And I think the game could have gone either way, but you'd probably say Devils had the edge of the third period. But going to overtime, fair result for you, Sean?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Giants earned enough, you know, played well enough to earn a point. And sort of the Devils, you know, that's the sort of game where there's such slim margins between the two sides that a point gained over the other is pretty much a fair result to give. And we go to overtime, and overtime was a bit, you know, I think we had a couple of chances, but nothing too serious. Same as Belfast. I think we both played it quite cautious, and we're looking to go to the shootout, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, which was quite surprising given the shots we saw from the Devils. Joey Haddad unsurprisingly took the first after scoring back-to-back penalty shots against Coventry a few weeks back. More than a few weeks back. But all three Devil shots, Sean, were just straight shots at Jackson. Not straight shots, but
shots.
No one tried to pull a move. And Whistle is a very good shot stopper. He's a very good goalie, you know.
Yeah, oh, point blank, yeah.
Yeah, you think someone who's a good shot stopper, at least after two, you're going to maybe try and mix it up. But wasn't to be. Devils shot first, so Giants only took the two with Rutherford missing and Murphy scoring one. Turned out to be the winner after Aslin missed the third. I walked out of that rig happy, I thought.
Yeah, as did I.
But we played bad enough in the second that we could have been out of sight. But we did enough for a point. And I think we both said leaving if we lost in overtime the following night, would have taken it as the weekend to when we dropped 2 points to Belfast. So,
Enjoyable game. Our special teams were fantastic.
Yeah.
Special teams were fantastic. 3 for 5 on the power play and a 7 for 7 killed is outstanding. And I think after that game, I put a couple of feelers out there for who I thought played well, but I missed one out on there. Andrew Hotham in that game was absolutely out of this world.
Yes. Well, he was at Hotham on a very, very good he's consistently excellent for the Devils, but, you know, put on two of the goals, but his all-round play was absolutely outstanding again. I think every year we've had him so far, we've said, oh, he just seems to get better and better as the season goes on. He sort of seems to peak a little bit above playing what he did last year, and he seems to be getting there again.
Yeah, he's playing his best hockey.
Yeah, some outstanding hockey. Which took the Devils into Saturday as a, not on a high, but I think quite happy with how things were, and sort of came out hard in the first period, dominated in terms of shots. I think fair to say in terms of chances and, you know, some overall game time, but the period finished scoreless. And we seem to continue in the same manner. Lane Ulmer getting two goals. We were just into February, so Ulmer's been on it for a while, but, you know, he marked the start of February with a couple of period goals. And one of them on the power play, you know, yet another power play goal over the weekend. And we're just over 13 minutes gone. Devils seem to be coasting at 2-0, but it's gone down as the game sheet. A shorthanded goal from Spiro Galakis, Sean, it's something we've discussed time and time again, and we say it's a momentum killer and opportunity, but to have our lead really did swing the game in Belfast's favour from that point.
Yeah, I think so, and I thought in that second we were excellent right up to that point. You know, I think that power play was still cycling well. It had another couple of chances in it. From memory, there wasn't a great deal of time elapsed on it. So,
it was like 17 seconds into the penalty.
Yeah, so. So overall, that was a bit of a bummer to, you know, half your lead, and that's always disappointing. And ultimately, I was glad to get out of that period with a lead. I thought we played well enough to earn it. But then, you know, just you're in a building like that where, you know, apart from last year, the Devils, you know, historically haven't done that well in. You know, the last couple of years have been a bit of an exception, but it's not an easy building to play in anymore, especially with that side that Adam Keefe has put together. And I was grateful to go into the third with a lead and thinking that could carry us into at least getting another point.
And you turned out to be quite correct. With Belfast getting an early equaliser through Blair Riley on the power play. The only power play goal the Devils did concede over the weekend, which tied the game up. It was an end-to-end game. A penalty shot chance fell to Justin Farina, I think, took the shot, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah, after being hauled down on the breakaway, yeah.
After being hauled down there, which he wasn't able to convert, and yet again, we went to overtime, but... You know, again, a fair result for you, Sean? Or you know, I think the Devils probably... I think Devils were the better team in the second game than they were, whereas Giants probably had the edge on the first. But again, thought overtime was probably about fair on how that everything went out. You know?
It's quite interesting to hear you say that, actually, because I felt the same way with regards to the games. I thought we were better in the second game than the first. And I was listening to A View from the Bridge this morning, and... You know, Simon Kitchen was saying on there that he thought it was the other way around. You know, the bet that the Giants deserve to win the Saturday game more than they deserve to win the Friday game. So, overall, I agree with you. I think that we offered a bit more going forward and we were a bit more venomous. You know, our shots had a bit more pace on them. We were, you know, cycling the puck well. And ultimately, I think going to overtime again was a fair. You know, at that stage then, I thought, you know, we've got what we came here for. At least, you know, we're going to drop, what was it? It would have been 3 points if they'd got the extra one.
Oh, we'd have dropped 2 points the weekend.
Sorry, we would have dropped two because it would have been, yeah, of course, it would have been four.
And you obviously would have been game four the previous weekend with Giants.
Yeah, of
losing
course.
Both. I was thinking over the course of that, more than happy.
Oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. And that's 2 points which, you know, the Giants need, you know, the Giants have got lots of home games left. They need to be taking advantage of their games best they can. And these were the games which they should have been doing that against their nearest rivals. And we came in there and we were still taking points. So overall, taking it to... I felt overtime was the right way to decide both games. I thought both teams were excellent. Thankfully, though, we didn't need the penalties to grab that extra point with... Gleeson Fournier just drives up the wing and... I think the puck takes a bit of a bounce off the boards. Fournier gets it on his back and throws one in front of the net midair. And it's the perfect height where Joey Martin can just baseball swing it from midair straight past Jackson Whistle. And Paul, you and I just went crazy. The block just erupted, as did the block as full of sponsors behind us. It was nuts.
It did go absolutely crazy. The hand-eye coordination from Joey Martin is one of those goals. In real time, it wasn't 100% clear what had happened. It all happened so quick.
Yeah.
It's going flying through sort of thigh height, if you like, and you're thinking, oh, it's gone. And then all of a sudden, perks in the net. And I think it was going to take something like that to beat Jackson Whistle on the night. Again, had another excellent game. The reaction from the fans, just the way the whole place erupted, as you said, was out of this world. And singing the team off the ice, singing the Giants off the ice as well, getting some questionable hand gesture from an elder gentleman in the Giants block put a smile on the face as well after he shushed us.
Second year in a row, I think, Paul.
Well, last year he shushed us when we were 3-0 down. We came back and won and then left making hand gestures. He shushed us again when Riley equalised on Saturday and left doing the same thing after a defeat. So you really think he'd learn his lesson, but... didn't wave him out of the rink or anything.
No, without a doubt. I just want to make sure that we don't end on that note, because over the course of the weekend, the Giants fans were absolutely fantastic. And I know that all the Devils fans will testify that that Saturday night in Rockies was absolutely unreal. There was a handful of Devils fans, a handful of Giants fans left outside the Odyssey Pavilion after the game, up till about 2 o'clock in the morning, just chanting. I'm surprised you didn't get noise complaints or get arrested, to be quite honest with you. But the fans, as ever, were top class, really welcoming. good crack, as they say out there. And overall, just such a pleasure to be in Belfast with a great group of people from both teams. And it's, I think that weekend there is the perfect advert for British hockey and everything it does right. You know, two sets of fans just enjoying a top quality product, two teams battling it out, and ultimately the result, you know, I think it was the fair result to split the points, and the fans, you know, were almost symbiotic. They were just fantastic, both sets of fans.
Oh, yeah, I would say it much more in a humorous manner, because I found it hysterical rather than it being any sort of criticism.
Oh, no, of course not. I wanted to make sure we didn't end on that note more than anything.
No, yeah, that's because, yeah, found the exact same. And it always is when you go to Belfast. Yeah, there's always a good welcome from the fans. There's always a good laugh in Rockies. But, yeah, with the numbers that were there this year, it was just that little bit extra again. Like I said, the split weekends, you're splitting the points, much more benefited the Devils. But I think there wasn't a loss on the Giants' side, and I think it just sort of helped give that atmosphere. Because they were great when we took 4 points to their none last year, but there seemed to be a few more of them. They seemed to be a little bit more upbeat having taken 3 points from the weekend this time. And yeah, I'd love to have taken 4 points, but it definitely added to the atmosphere that both teams came out of the weekend with something. So another amazing weekend. Sure, you get everyone on the Belfast and Cardiff fans that were involved in Rockies in the rink or anywhere else where we took over Belfast. Massive thank you, because Belfast trips are good on your own, but they're a lot better when there's a few hundred of you. So yes, and long may it continue.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, we took 3 points in Belfast. Sort of solidifies us at the top of the league. Sort of softens the blow of us knocking ourselves out of the Challenge Cup effectively in the first leg. So we went into yesterday's game.
Or so we thought.
Going into... I've got a huge grin on my face. Just
started
going into yesterday's game, 4 goals down. And I sort of played it over my head, especially after Belfast. You know, two great performances. Devils really show what we've shown throughout the season, what we can do. I just thought, if we win that first period 2-0, you've just got to win the second, win the third, take it to overtime. Momentum's with you. Yeah, at the very worst, you're going to go to overtime and you back the team that's come back. But I kept thinking, what's going to happen is we'll get a few goals. We might even get level and then it's going to get snatched away from us. And from going into a game thinking, we can't lose, we can't leave disappointed, I'm going to leave crushed. I was a bit wrong on that one. there are not enough good words to say about every single Devils player who stepped foot on the ice. Every fan that was in there who made noise, and practically every minute of the game, it was
electric.
It was electric, but I would say in terms of the hockey alone, that was the most complete performance I've ever seen from a Devils team for 60
minutes.
I'm
struggling to disagree. I really am struggling to disagree.
And it was I think it was easily the best atmosphere Ice Arena Wales has seen.
Yep.
The comeback video that started the night. That video was watched by a good 7 or 8 Sheffield Steelers who were stood on the bench waiting to go out. And I did think I wouldn't want to be watching that, putting that in my head beforehand. And yeah, they really didn't. So I said, Devils came out absolutely flying in the first period and ended up with a power play opportunity, which Matthew Myers, doing what Matthew Myers does, being in and around the net, being in the dirty areas, and gets the goal. And yet again, and I feel like we're saying this at least once a week, from some amazing work from Sean Tavolio to keep the puck alive, keep the puck in the zone and put it in the right place. And my mate stood next to me, jumped up, grabbed me when we scored, and I just stood there quietly clapping because I thought, I'm not getting excited yet.
Yeah.
And felt like I was the sensible person a minute later when Steelers were on power play and Eric Neely tied it up. And I've got to be honest, I kept telling myself a minute ago we were happy at 0-0. We're still at the same score, but a bit of me thought...
But now there's even less time.
There's less time. It means we've got to score. You know, we had to win 4-0 to take it anywhere. All of a sudden, you've got to get 5 goals just to tie it up. And as we were playing, I was starting to have my doubts at that stage. And even Lane Olmer's Devils again on their next power play, another goal from Lane Olmer. He's absolutely on fire at the moment. Matt Pope with a shot from the blue line, Olmer with an outstanding tip to give Moose absolutely no chance at all. And the period ended 2-1 Devils, Sean, and even it felt like every other shift people were standing up to applaud the players off the ice, but end of that period, the rink knew the effort that had gone in. We'd won a period, and you know the place was, the belief was starting to seep in, even if somewhat quietly.
And we'd come close at the end of the first as well. There was that, it was the very last chance or the very last seconds of the first period as well, where someone threw a pass out in front. It just bobbled, and Sean Benevolio couldn't get his stick on the puck on an open net. If he got any stick on it, it was going in point blank. And the frustration on his face was, he was heartbroken because he just wanted to win that period by another goal and get us one step closer. And you could see the devastation in him. And by God, did he come out in that the rest of that game and just showed how much it hurt. You knew how much it hurt him just to miss that chance, and then you just watched that, and the whole performance from Sean Benevolio, just unreal, absolutely unreal.
And you mentioned that chance. The Devils were on a power play that was running 40 seconds into the second period, and 31 seconds into it, the goal's been given to Matt Pope. I've watched the highlights, but didn't actually watch that goal properly. But I'm convinced Olmer got a tip on that one as well. It was given to Olmer on the night. So unless it was a defenseman's stick and it's been recategorized to Matt Pope, but you know, another power play goal, and so it meant the Devils had halved the deficit from the start of the game, just 30 seconds into the second period. And we'd also scored from three of our first four power plays, which was some outstanding work and really got under the Steelers' skin. And if I say that was the most complete 60 minutes, that's got to be one of the most complete 20 minutes I've seen. Outshot the Steelers 14 shots to 5. And I think the fact that we only got one more goal through Justin Farina was much more flattering to the Steelers than us that we cut that deficit to one, Sean.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. The effort that just went into that period, at one stage, there was a shift in the second period where we did that thing that Sheffield do to us, and they pin us in the zone. And you sort of think, there's got to be a goal coming here. There's got to be a goal coming. And we did it. And we must have done it for a good 2 minutes in their zone. And the crowd just went absolutely ballistic. It was crazy. We ultimately didn't score on it, but you knew that the guys were going out there and busting a gut every single second of every single shift. And the building just lifted.
I'm sure there was one shift in our second where we line changed at least twice without the puck going dead and without the puck leaving the Sheffield zone.
Yeah.
And you know, on top of that, then getting the face-offs and a couple of icings from Sheffield, it was. And
when we go to Sheffield, they do that to us, and we just think they're just dominating. They are cycling the zone perfectly with four men, you know, changing as they cycle the zone, and we did it to them and just absolutely hammered them. You know, how we didn't end that period completely tied up overall, I do not know, purely just based on the law of averages, I'm guessing, you know. But, you know, the will to win and the will to go to the net it was just unreal. And, you know, we're talking about this, best overall performance that we've seen. That right there is a perfect example of why, on our day, nobody can match us. Because when we want to win that badly, we are better than any team in this league by a million miles.
100%. And just going to mention the Challenge Cup now. There's always talk every year that we're as guilty of it, how it's probably the cup we want the least. We want the league the most, obviously. We've never, me and Sean, anyone who's been watching from the year 2000 onwards has never seen us win the playoffs.
18 years, yeah.
But you cannot in any way doubt what the Challenge Cup means to this Cardiff Devils team, this organisation, because, yeah, like you said, that period was just demonstration of that. And now we get to talk about probably two of the craziest minutes ever in Cardiff Devils history.
Unreal. You talk about it and I'll just sit here and just enjoy the commentary because,
Like, I can't commentate on it all because I did miss one of the goals. just 45 seconds into the period and Paul Crowder ties up the game overall and sort of Sean and I up on the gantry sorting out tickets from selling 50-50 and stuff. And I was sort of watching, guy next to me had loads of money in his hand, and as the puck hit the net, that gantry went bananas. It was mental. The whole rink went crazy. And you think that early on, get the game tied. We've got a period now to consolidate.
Yeah, you've got a period to win. You've got a period.
We can do it in regulation now.
Yeah, you've got a period then to just, you know, you're starting a fresh hockey game that's lasting 20 minutes. But what a great goal. What a great play. The pass from Morissette just to slightly poke it into the crease area. And Crowder just gets a stick on the edge of it and pushes it in beautifully past Irvin's Mustakas.
Yeah, and it was at that moment I thought, right, it's tied up. This period's going to be huge. Let's get everything we need to done nice and quickly. So I start burrowing around, and the next thing I know, the place is erupting again. I'm being grabbed from all sides by everyone who's been paying more attention than me. And you think, my God, 20 seconds later, we've taken the lead. And having watched it back, Patrick Astling comes around the back of the net. And Davey Phillips is stood on the post. Moose is down, gone. He's been done at the other end of the goal. Davey Phillips is on the back post in the perfect position to try and shepherd the puck out. And then Davey Phillips sort of sees a butterfly or something and just wanders away. And Patrick Astling carries on around the goal and just taps it into the empty net. One of the worst defensive plays I have ever seen made.
Probably one of the best sort of descriptions of something that I've ever heard. Davey Phillips sees a butterfly, leaves his man.
I cannot for the life of me.
That's genuinely the perfect way of describing it, yeah. Is a small child seeing a butterfly and running after it, yeah.
You haven't watched the highlights, go on. Just watch it again and again.
Yeah, just watch all the highlights all over again, yeah. But that play, that, you know, when you watch a play like that, you struggle to think how Davey Phillips, you know, plays in that top six unit at Sheffield, because it's just a diabolical play, you know. I cannot fathom how you make that decision. Your goalie's down. There's a guy behind the net with, you know, and it's arguably one of the guys with the best hands in the league, and you want to just leave him to do his thing, and you go out to the crease and leave an open net for him. Staggering. Absolutely staggering decision by Davey Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah. He's managed to beat his own goal against us last season for the worst thing he's...
Oh, that was quite special. That was a bit special.
Yeah, but this one was... he's outdid himself. So a minute into the third period and the Devils lead in. And all I can think is, this is my prediction. We've had the hope. We've had it dangling there. And it's going to be snatched away. It's not on the game sheet and my memory is failing me. Did the Steelers call their timeout after the Astling goal, Sean, do you know?
I feel like they called it after the equaliser, actually.
I definitely know, because the Crowder to Astling goals went very quickly, sort of one after another, so I think it must have been after Astling. I was too busy
jumping around going crazy to notice when they took their timeout. The building was so loud, you wouldn't be able to tell there was a timeout.
There was not a lot of music played in that period, is there, with the noise. Like I said, I'm pretty confident that Steelers called their timeouts after Astling had given us the lead, and Paul Thompson's words of calming and encouragement resulting in Zach Fitzgerald taking a penalty 11 seconds later, and then resulted in another goal, a minute and a half after Astling's. Just so on the Zach Fitzgerald power play, and it was unreal to get that second goal, to get an insurance goal that quickly after the two. Just absolutely killed the game, Sean, didn't it? That was it.
We had all the momentum, you know, the crowd was into it. It was just And what a pass as well, coming in from the corner there, to just find him in front of net. It was unreal. I think it was the pass from Ulmer, I think it was, and Bentivoglio just absolutely, there was a couple of us there saying, if they can find a pass, Bentivoglio gets a good shot on this and it's going in. And you watch the highlights and he just finishes it beautifully from the top of the crease where, that's why Davey Phillips was so intent on marking him. Maybe he was just a bit early.
Potentially, yeah, he saw what was coming just a minute and a half later.
Yeah.
But that goal goes in 1 minute and 51 seconds after Paul Crowder equalises and the Devils are 2 goals in the lead. Just, it's unreal. And yeah, there was a lot of time that we could have thrown it away, but Sheffield had whatever mindset Sheffield had. And I thought in the first period, Sheffield played the game right. They were trying to catch us on the break. They were playing quite high energy. And I thought it was the right thing to do. If they'd have got another goal in that first period, almost certainly the game's done and dusted. It's just too big of a mountain to come back from for the Devils. But whatever they decided to do in the second, they couldn't shake that slump they put themselves in. And whilst they had zone time, obviously going forward in the third when the Devils didn't need to attack so much and you had to defend. There were not many chances in those last 70 minutes, Sean, where you were genuinely thinking, my God, there's a goal imminent. There's something's coming, like you probably felt for the previous 43 minutes.
No, I think like at that stage when you sort of go two up and you think, okay, maybe we're dreaming a little bit here. Something, it's gone so right all game. Something's got to go wrong. And it just didn't. It just all went perfectly. I can't think of another word for it. It was an unreal effort defensively. We were very disciplined. We kept our sticks down where we needed to. No silly slashes on the sticks, which have been called a lot the last couple of months. And we just played hard, disciplined, defensive hockey. And there was no way that team was going to let that 2-goal lead slip. They'd done all the work to even force OT. And then to go and take the lead by 2 goals, we were never, ever going to let that game get away. In the back of my mind, it's always that sort of, something's going to go wrong. Don't set yourself up for too much, don't get too high because you'll get the ultimate low. But yeah, we were never letting that game go.
No. And I said there weren't times when I was worried in the third, but there were times where Ben Bounds stood on his head. There was an excellent pad save in the third. I think it was a glove save.
On Liam Kirk on a breakaway in the first period.
Yes. In the first period, I was trying to think which one it was. And
yeah.
So some really solid saves from Ben Bounds, who I mentioned Jackson Whistle at length in the Belfast weekend. Bounds stood on his head all the way through that weekend as well.
Oh, yeah. It was the battle of the British goaltenders. I think it's safe to say that, British goaltending is in the safe hands of Jackson Whistle and Ben Bounds.
Yeah, it's not a bad pairing to be looking to take to tournaments. So,
not at all.
But that game was just a pleasure to watch every minute of it. I almost don't want to pull players out, but I'm going to pull a couple out that I thought. I mentioned Drew Parris on the Friday game in Belfast. He was improved on Saturday in Belfast, but he probably had his best game for us since the CHL and potentially his best game in the Devil's shirt. I thought he was brilliant. We've mentioned him a couple of times. Sean Bentivoglio was outstanding. Joey Haddad's work rate, unreal as always. And Andrew Hotham. We scored 7 goals. Andrew Hotham and Joey Martin didn't get a point, but both of them were just as critical to the team as they always are. But Andrew Hotham, again, just had an absolutely brilliant game. And
Patrick Aslan.
Yeah, someone, I really think Aslan's found form the last few weeks. And again, really hitting his stride at the right time. And what a performance there. But I could say that at literally about anyone who had a single shift in that game because it's just
unreal.
I don't, not convinced we've ever talked about a game for so long that was so one-sided. But what an unreal game. And just everything about it. I think it's worth mentioning that there were nearly 3,000 fans
in
for a game. that the Devils were 4 goals behind him on a Wednesday night. It's, you know, what are, you know, there was a cup final. It was against Belfast a few years back in the tent. I think we had 700 fans there for it because we were 4 or 5 goals behind. It's just the turnaround is amazing, but everything about it. And I'm going to force myself to stop talking about that game now for a good 5 minutes. And we're going to have to do a player of the week. Sean, where is your vote going?
Andrew Hotham, game, set and match, job done. Can we please move on?
Yeah, why not? Literally, across the week, Andrew Hotham has taken 2 points.
Phenomenal. That's it.
2 assists on Friday. Nothing on the Saturday. Nothing in the 9 goals we scored against Sheffield. Yet has been the most influential player on the ice. In probably at least 2 of the 4 games. And arguably 3 if you include last night. Because I think picking him out would be unfair on others. But just head and shoulders, as you said, keeps on getting better and better. And yeah, Andrew Hotham, there it is. And the power play over the last 3 games, the whole power play unit should get it.
Yeah, all the special teams, I think, on the whole, just tremendous.
We've gone the last 3 games, 3 from 5, 1 from 3, and 4 from 6. That's, I can't percentages that quickly, but we've running over 50% in the last 3 games, which is absolutely phenomenal. That is it. So it's time for us to stop thinking for a moment and head over to social media, Sean. And I think we've had a Rahmite and a few burning questions again.
Yeah, we did. We had a couple of Rahmites. We did have a Rahmite from Kenwyn Jones. Hold on just 1 second while I refresh my Twitter. Yeah, Kenwyn loved the Belfast weekend, watching the games at the SSE. He hated some of the missed calls by Dean Smith and the fact that he had to miss Saturday night's overtime as his wife was ill and they left for the hotel early. Best wishes to your wife, Kenwyn. We hope that she gets better very, very soon. And we also did have a couple of burning questions come in. Paul, you had a short one from Lewis Hawkins. Did you find the answer to his question about how much booze is too much booze in Belfast?
I feel like I probably did. I think I found out that the amount of booze I had was probably too much. And I said on Twitter that that's the opinion of my liver. But I'm not considering it conclusive. So I'm willing to go again next year and put it to the test and do some more research for the scientific integrity of the Red Army Roundup. I'm willing to do that.
That's a very big responsibility for you to undertake. Thank you very much for doing that, Paul. I would volunteer, but I don't think I'd be very beneficial to it.
Your too much booze is potentially quite a lower amount. But I'm drinking too much in Belfast, so you don't have to.
Fantastic. Okay, burning question from Kenwyn this time. Did any one of you doubt that we could come back and win the semi-final? He admits that he did not, and his friend also didn't. Should they hang their heads in shame? Paul, I'll go first on this one. Yes, I did doubt it. I thought maybe, you know, I'd seen 3 goals. I thought 4 was maybe 1 too far. Against a team as well coached, as well drilled as Sheffield with a defensive coach, I thought there's no way we are going to score 4 goals and not concede something. So we're going to have to score at least 5 to even think about forcing overtime. And we just talk about it now, how very wrong I was. What about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, I had a lot more doubts than I had belief. There were moments when I was not. I wouldn't ever go as far as say I was confident, but when I felt like we had it in us. But yeah, doubts. I can't imagine there were many people other than Andrew Lord and everyone who set foot on the ice that strongly believed we were going to do it. But yeah, I think it's safe to say they must have had that belief because you wouldn't have played like that without it. An absolutely unreal performance and no shame at all in doubting a 4-goal deficit.
Absolutely not. Carl Morgan at Morgan Marsh 87 says, if Joey, your dad, doesn't score that shorty in Sheffield last week to make it 6-2, do you think we would still have won the tie last night with a score of 6-1? In hindsight, yeah, we know, I do, you know, we had that ability to go with the mindset that we were going to overturn a four. Why can we do a five? Why not? I am past the point now of thinking that something is impossible after last night.
That's fair enough. I wonder whether we'd have had that mindset with a five goal difference. There has to come a time when doubts will creep in, even into the most confident team and players. And it seems like four goals isn't that level. Would five goals have been it? I think possibly, but
at least we don't have to find out. At least we don't have to find out this year. Well, hopefully.
Well, yeah, let's.
We haven't got another double. We haven't got another two-legged affair, so we don't have to find out this year.
Yes, we do. I'd like to make it to the playoff finals weekend.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. If we end up five goals down after the first leg, I'm going to hold you personally responsible. So, so you know.
Okay, and lastly from Greg Hewish, we had your top three Dells games. What are they, and does Wednesday's games get in, Paul?
Oh yeah, just throw that one over. That nice, simple, easy question. Just
We've got plenty of time to talk about it, and I'm pretty sure they're not far off the same as each other. So I thought I'd ask you first.
It's difficult. There's obviously so many games you could pick. I've sort of ruled out league games that were just league games, because I think while they live on in the memory, then they don't have the same
impact,
resonance of something that, it was just in the middle of the season. But my first game in the Elite League, or one of my first ones, Dells were trailing with about a minute and a half left. We came back and won it in regulation and did the same thing the very next game I went to. So things like that are amazing and high up there on the list, but they're not getting in this list. Chronologically, there are slim pickings until the last 3.5 years, I realised, if we're putting something of importance on the line, because there was a lot less. The Challenge Cup final against Coventry in 2006.
Always.
Is always going to be right up there. And it's the only game I can think of that compares to last night, in terms of Devils were three goals behind after the first leg in Coventry, back when Challenge Cup finals were two-legged affairs, and came into Cardiff and overturned it, trailing by a goal with a face-off in our own zone with 20 seconds left, go up the ice and Nathan Rempel ties it up. Corazon Stranger wins it in penalty shots. And yeah, that was first cup I saw the Devils lift, so it's always going to be special. And with the turnaround, that's... My list isn't three. If we can whittle it down to three, I'll be surprised. The only other game that I've put on the list that doesn't qualify and also isn't in the current era is the 2009 quarterfinal in the playoffs against Belfast. Dells were 2-1 up after the first leg, but lost regulation by a goal, 4-3 to go into overtime with the Giants equalising, I think, with about a minute and a little bit left. Brad Voth scoring the winner in overtime. These were back in the days when wins against Belfast were like on-time buses. They were few and far between, and they were there to be savoured. So, and that was also the night that me and a group of people broke the back of block 10 in the tent. The wooden board that we were all stood on dropped by about an inch and a half, I think it was, as we all jumped up as that goal went in. So there was another board there the year after.
Brilliant.
There's not many games that I can say I broke a rink for, so it's got to make the list. And then I guess a bit predictable, the both Challenge Cup finals against Sheffield, the second one, the one last year, was by far and away a better game. It was a really enjoyable game. It was at home. It was in Cardiff. It was about a 50-50 split of fans. The atmosphere was electric. The game in 2015, if we're all perfectly honest, was very warm. It wasn't quite as boring as the game the year after that we did lose. But yeah, it was not a good game. But it was the year after the season the Devils didn't make the top eight for the playoffs. It was the first year with the new ownership. It was the first year of having a club that had belief around it constantly. If I had to choose a Challenge Cup final, I think I would give it to the 2015, which doesn't really go with the best games. Question that Greg's asked, because it wasn't the best game, but hey, I'm answering. Obviously winning the league in Sheffield, that's not a lot else to say. And last night makes that list. I don't know if it would make my top three. I think I would say it was above the Giants' playoff win. I'd probably put last night above last year's Challenge Cup final win as well. But the league win in Sheffield, the 2015 final and the 06 final, I would struggle. I'd struggle to move them out for last night. If last night had a trophy at the end of it, I think it's my number one game of all time. Without, I'm not even going to question that. But it didn't have the trophy. We haven't got the trophy. And if we lost the final, I think I might look back at this game with a tinge of regret almost that we did it. We didn't get anything for it in the long run. Have I taken all of your answers, Sean?
Quite possibly.
I can't think of many more cup wins if you're using my
No. I can't think of any more cup wins. The only game which maybe comes close to my top three, the 2006 Challenge Cup win over Coventry, is in there every day. I still think is the most emotional I've ever been during a game, without a doubt. But the league win in Sheffield comes second, and I'm gonna go out on a rip, on a whim, and not say that 2015 Challenge Cup final purely based on the fact that it wasn't a good game. I'm going to go with the semi-final in Coventry beforehand.
I didn't even think of it.
Which got us there. Just what midweek, two full buses, Andrew Lord on the bus afterwards, thanking all the fans. His buzzer-beating goal, you know, after being, 5-on-2 or something like that, and just jumping the puck and basically sealed the tie and put us into our first cup final in that first year under the new regime. So...
It was the first leg in Coventry, I believe, as
it
well.
The first leg in Coventry, but it was four. That made it 4-1. Three goals coming home. I just thought, you know, that did it. I was at that stage. I was convinced that we were going to win that tie. And just the fact that everyone took time off to go get there. We took two buses. John Williams broke the plexiglass at the back of the block. All sorts of things. Just overall, as a game that I enjoyed, that's right up there. As a team performance, it was fantastic. The memories from it, everything. The fact that it was a massive game in a run to what was our first trophy in however many years. Yeah, I'd struggle to think of another game which matches up to that. Other than the only reason the final doesn't win it is because we didn't win it. Because it was not a great game. We did win it, but it wasn't a great game.
Yeah, I think I was surprised when I thought about it a lot and realised just how bad a game it was afterwards, because the tension and the pressure and the emotion of that game, it almost didn't happen. They didn't count.
Yeah. It's not a game that you want to watch back on DVD, but you will watch that Coventry game back on DVD if you had it.
Yes, that is true. That is very true. Then you also wouldn't want to watch that final. And I think that final is almost, what's the word? Not like rose tinted for everyone because of obviously the montage with one day like this, which was actually on my radio on the way to work on Wednesday. And I thought, ooh, is this a sign or is it just the universe playing tricks? Maybe it was a sign. Who knows? Thank you, universe. I was just, because we were saying about not counting just league games, but the league games for last year weren't just league games. They were something more. Neither of us have mentioned 3-0 down at the end of the second in Belfast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You could argue that practically won us the league. It gave us the belief. It won us the next game almost. That's got to be right up there. And is it more impressive to come back from 4 goals over 60 minutes or to come back from 3 goals in 20? Who knows?
We did both.
We've done both. Yeah. We can compare and contrast. It's fine. I think that deserves a mention. That's up there with the Giants playoff quarterfinal. The Brayhead game potentially just for that. There was a wild Brayhead trip last January, but maybe that it's difficult. Sometimes you associate everything
the trip
with the whole trip. So it's can be a bit difficult, but yeah, No, I can't tell you the top three, Greg, and I can't tell you. I don't think last night is in it, though. I think I've probably got 4 games, maybe there's definitely 3 that are above last night.
It cracks top five. it definitely cracks top five. I'm not entirely sure about top three.
I'm not convinced. Now I've remembered that Belfast game and that Coventry game. It's better.
We should save this for an off-season special.
Yeah, we could have done an hour or so on this. That'd be great, friend. Just like two old people remembering things that have happened in their lives. That's what everyone wants to tune in for. Was that it on social media, Sean?
I believe that was everything.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone who sent those questions in. Kevin for the Ramites. Get your suggestions in, guys. I always enjoy reading the Ramites. They get the burning questions in because they are, you know, I think the last few weeks we've had some excellent questions that have properly taxed the mind. So, yeah, please send them in. We really enjoy talking about what you guys want us to talk about. We've talked quite a lot about that win last night, so we've gone quite long. So very quickly, we'll just look ahead to this weekend's league action. A trip to Milton Keynes tomorrow, Sean. Devils didn't do too badly there in the league New Year's Day. Obviously lost in the Challenge Cup. But Milton Keynes have really fallen from grace since those Challenge Cup days, and you're occupying 11th place by a little margin at the moment. So a team that still worries you, or do you think that whatever bubble they had has burst and they're just seen out the season now?
I don't know. I think you have to take every team, you know, seriously. They've got some good talent there. Denny Kearney's back from suspension. You've got guys we know that can cause us damage, like Guillaume Doucette and Carl Hudson. They've got a new goaltender in Henry Packer. We saw what he could do last year with Nottingham. So, you know, they've got, you know, a bit of a rejuvenation in their bloods. And, yeah, it's a game we have to take seriously. Obviously, it's been a very, very busy week. We've got another busy game in the fall. You know, big game the following night. So, yeah, we can't take Milton Keynes too lightly.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. And I suppose the risk of a hangover in a game like this has got to be quite big. Yeah. You know, you're playing the 11th place team on the back of two games against your title rivals and a two-leg semi-final with that amazing comeback. I think if there's ever a time when the foot's going to come off the gas, Saturday's going to be the risk. So I'm sure... So I'm sure Andrew Lord will mention to the team in an attempt to make sure it doesn't happen.
They are an import short, though, however, with Matt Nicholson's 25 in suspension, whatever it was. So they've got to sit at least six games with an import short. So,
and they've not signed a replacement, I don't think. So it could be they're going to see out the season. So it may be they're seeing the season out with that. But yeah, as you said, definitely out. And I think that Denny Kearney's back because he seems to enjoy scoring on us this year.
Yes. Yeah.
And you said a big game on Sunday at home. And is big it's Nottingham. Nottingham are never not big games. Obviously, they won our last match after taking an early 4-0 lead and the Devils nearly clawing it back. I think we've overcome a 4-goal deficit recently, though. So while we didn't do it then, I'm sure there was a game not that long ago where it's happened. we'll have to talk about it sometime if we get a chance. But Nottingham have had a disappointing season, Sean. You know, you've got to think sort of over 10 points behind in the league, probably looking done in the title race at this stage of the season. Yeah. But I'm sure that they're still going to be looking for results and, you know, players going to be looking to keep their contracts because you've got to think with the year they've had, there's going to be quite a high turnover. So by no means a straightforward game.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have guys playing for their jobs next year. They still got playoff seeding to, you know, they're going to want to get as high up as they can to get a better seed in the playoffs. And because, you know, that's their only real chance at a trophy now. And like you said, it's going to be hard based on how taxing the last couple of weeks have been on our team. I hope that we can get a lot of rest in this, you know, this week after a crazy, crazy night last night. You know, that wasn't a game we could take lightly, and we sort of threw all our eggs in that basket. It's a case of if we can hatch more eggs in time for the weekend.
A lot of eggs going on. A lot of eggs coming up. Yeah, a difficult game. Nottingham are down in seventh at the moment. They've sort of got games in hand, but you know, their games in hand were from level with Sheffield and a point ahead of Guildford if they were to win them. So it's not like they're in seventh. And it's a false position. It's quite an accurate position in terms of their results, which is surprising given some of the performance we've seen. But then at home, we've we have dominated Nottingham so far this year. So again, something else they're going to look to bounce back from. I would not be surprised to see some
points. A very different Nottingham team. Yeah, a very different.
I think in terms of this weekend, if we take 4 points this weekend, I'll be amazed, because, as you said, the week we've had, it's been a really tough one. So,
without a doubt.
Hopefully, it won't be the case though. Another big weekend, and it's sort of become our show motto for the last 3 years. There's a big weekend coming up now. We're in February,
so
look forward to it. There's a few more coming. But that is everything. Thank you to everyone for listening. Please do get your Armite suggestions, your burning questions into us over the weekend. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll be bringing the party back with Aaron. But for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. The devil inside, every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside.